General, please come to order. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 32. Have you read that in, or would you please read that in?
Center file 1, second reading amendment number 32, page 85, line 22.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'd move second reading amendment 32 to center file 1 and ask the body to vote aye. What we've got here is this was the, if you remember, this was the Excellence in Education Fund. And as we found out, what was going was there was $8,868,000, which was going to be added to the corpus of the Excellence in Education Fund. And so what this amendment does is cut that amount in half. And the logic and reasoning behind that, Mr. President, is that if you remember, the Excellence in Education Fund has an endowment of a little over $100 million. And the object of that up front was that this would be an endowment that for which they would use to endow chairs. And obviously, the economic times have changed. And you look at spending policy amounts. You look at most endowments and what they spend off of their income to support to endow chairs and the like. It's gone down, and now most of those are, you find a lot of those are down around 3.5 to 4% per year on a sustainable basis. And ultimately, what this does is just recognizes that it's still a substantial amount to go in there, but it is a reduction in that amount and recognizing again that it is a little bit tough and that people need to learn to live within their means. And that's what this amendment does. Ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion? Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, the difficulty and the reason for the appropriation wasn't based on the expenditure rate. That expenditure rate is actually statutorily set and was amended last year. As a matter of fact, the part of the reason why it was amended and we did it in this body was to address that the rate was a little bit too high statutorily. The concern is the way the fund is structured, it's actually a permanent fund, so you can't get into the corpus. The fact that you can't get into the corpus means that over the last couple of years, based on when the capital gains were realized, there was an issue where the cash flow was actually insufficient to fund the endowment, even at the statutory rate. So as a result, there were endowed positions that ended up having to be cut, and the spending rolled back below what the statutory rate requires. So a couple of things were done last year. One, that spending policy amount was decreased. And the other, the reserve account that provides for the cash flow was increased so that it would get to 150% of the spending policy amount, which was reasonable. This appropriation is designed to fill that spending policy amount to ensure that there's cash flow. And remember, this isn't just the university. This is the university and the colleges. So we've got a lot of endowed faculty around the state that rely on this. And those positions require that amount of funding. So if we want to revisit the amount that we're providing through that, through the spending policy, that's reasonable. But if we want to starve it effectively and not fund those positions, then that's going to lead to some difficulties for our colleges and the university. This $8 million is trying to provide the cash flow. That's why it was done. It's to correct a remedy in the past where the cash flow was insufficient. It cures that. It's certainly not an ongoing expense requirement. In fact, it could be a loan. That would be fine, too, if we wanted to go in on a third reading amendment and say, hey, as this money comes back in and fills up the budget reserve account, we can pay this back. That, too, is just fine. But the key, Mr. President, is that we have to have that budget reserve account that backs the endowment full so that we have the cash flow to actually provide the endowment dollars to the college and to the colleges and to the university. So one way or another, we need to make sure that's full so that we can pay the tab. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, thank you. I just wanted to rise and share a little bit of the discussion we had in appropriations. we did feel as though this $8 million figure was sufficient enough that, that we could expect to never have to hear from this entity again. I am not sure whether or not the $4 million figure is going to get the job done in terms of what the senator from over the hill just explained. This is an endowment that has really done some great things, but all 8 or 9 or 10 of our institutions out there certainly rely on the funding that is generated from it. So thank you.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I will confess I have a soft spot in my heart for this particular endowment because it was created by a bill that I sponsored. And back when things were high, wide, and handsome, when we had a lot of money, and we created this endowment to build up our university long term and to save and put to work some of the surplus we had in those days. But the problems we got here they're part of the same problem the state has. The earnings on investments have been down because the interest rates have been down. The yield in the stock market has been down. They aren't earning as much as they would want in that endowment. And, you know, we had to adjust our spending because of it. I'm afraid, I hate to say it, Mr. President, I would love to be able to vote for this amendment, to vote against this amendment, and to have the full amount the Appropriations Committee has put in restored. But, Mr. President, we are deficit spending at a rate we simply cannot afford, and this is the kind of adjustment we're all going to have to make. These endowments are simply not earning as much as we would like, and we're having to adjust to it because our same things happened with our permanent funds. The university is going to have to adjust to it. I'm very glad we have the endowment. We'll be able to do most of what was wanted, but we won't be able to do everything. And so, Mr. President, very reluctantly, I rise to urge the Senate to vote aye on this amendment. It's the kind of thing we're going to have to do to get our budget back under control, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator Meyer?
Yeah, thank you. Can we have a little discussion whether this is the right amount? This is a 50% haircut, it looks like, or right at it, or whether a 25% haircut is more appropriate. I'm not sure exactly what the endowment has generated and whether this is coming out of, hopefully these things are set up with a tip like our other endowments, but I'm not sure if it is without a little further inspection, Mr. President. So I guess a little bit of discussion about whether or not the haircut is the right amount and or whether it should be just a 25% haircut.
Anybody else for their first time?
I got one last week.
Before the – just a second. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Mr. President, maybe I wasn't clear on part of the explanation. Last year – we cut the spending policy amount from, and I'd like to look back at these numbers, but we're in second reading right now, and it's not convenient, but 5% spending policy amount was the starting point. And we amended that down to 90% of 4%, oddly enough, which ends up being about a 3.6% spending policy amount. So it was at around 5%, and now it's a 3.6% spending policy amount out of the endowment. So a 3.6% annual yield then is paid out if the funds are available at that point in time to the university and the colleges. That was the point, that was the spending policy decision that leads to what the good senator from Natrona County is talking about, that we have to rein this back in and not spend so much. It's an endowment. The decision was that it was spending faster than its yields provided. We worked that legislation, and we amended it. This is not about how much is being spent out of it. This is about whether there is cash flow available to run it in that budget reserve account, because you can't touch the corpus. If it were not an inviolate fund, Mr. President, we would simply be able to reach into the corpus. We wouldn't need this $8 million at all. It would generate its own funding. So, again, cutting this only limits the cash flow, and it would be perfectly reasonable to loan that money temporarily, have it paid off once the cash flow is available. But, again, if we cut this, as the amendment says, in half, and the total amount of cash needed for 1 year is basically that amount of money, then we could run into cash flow problems like we did last year, where we don't, for the second year, have the ability to actually pay the money out to the university and the community colleges. So it's not a matter of are we spending too fast at this point. It's a matter of are the funds available in the budget reserve account so that they may be spent according to the spending policy that we passed last year. Mr. President, I hope that clarifies. Again, it's not about spending this much money next year. The amount we're supposed to spend next year has already been set statutorily last year. It's about whether the cash is actually available to provide those funds, Mr. President. I know this affects a lot of our communities, so hopefully we can defeat this amendment and then maybe think of something for third reading that would be more appropriate along these lines.
Senator Meyer, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I guess in inspection of page 85, this comes out of the School Foundation Program Reserve Account into the Higher Education Endowment Reserve Account, but I don't see anything on 85 or 86 that says that if it is just cash flow after the gains are realized from the endowment account that we pay back the foundation program reserve account. And maybe that's someplace else, and somebody can help me on that. If it is indeed just a loan, but it looks like it's a one-time transfer, and there's no, it's not necessarily a loan that's paid back.
Okay, anyone else for their first or second time before we hear from the sponsor? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I, you know, first of all, it is important to recognize that it is coming out of this, as coming out of the School Foundation Program Reserve Account. We all know the pressures that exist on the foundation program in whole, including its reserve accounts. But when you come back, Mr. President, it would be really nice if all we had to do was pass a spending policy and the markets would behave and make sure that we always get our spending policy. But that's not the case. I was in the Senate back when we were funding these things and voted. I mean, we were doing exactly what my good friend from Bates Creek was talking about. We were trying to find ways that we could help ensure, recognizing that it was not going to last forever, find ways to try and help us move forward in perpetuity. However, as we do that, you know, we didn't anticipate quantitative easing. We didn't anticipate all those things that happened that did what they did to interest rates. But this is, quite frankly, it's a classic object lesson of why we as a legislature and why we as a state have to be very careful about how we rely upon capital gains. If we rely upon capital gains as part of income to fund these types of things, this is the exact same situation we're going to find ourselves in over and over and over. The spending policy amount has been reduced in a lot. We've reduced, beginning, I think, this year, I think the spending policy amount is being reduced and being stepped down in the permanent school, in the permanent trust fund. Beginning, I think, after this biennium, it starts to step down in the common school permanent land fund. Those spending policies are being reduced because we simply can't guarantee and ensure that we have that type of income available to spend. One of the reasons why there is a cash flow is because my understanding is, and my belief is, and I could be wrong on this, but all, if not a majority of the income out of that fund has been spent every year, regardless of whether it was capital gain or anything else. And there's been very little that's been able to tip over, and there's nothing, I think we started that endowment with $105 million, and I don't think there's that much more in that account now, in large part because they've been being spent every year. So at some point, you have to start to wean yourself off. As far as the amount, it is exactly half, or at least It is exactly half because it was divisible by two, so it's exactly half. There's not even a penny rounding error. And that was, so, you know, you can look at it one or two ways. It's either funding for 1 year or it's being half as generous as I wished we could be completely generous. But that's the point of it. And at some point, it is important that these accounts get filled up, because ultimately that's how you have to have a great year with capital gains. It's got to fill up and it's got to spill over. And we've expanded that. It's going to be more difficult to spill over because we've expanded the size of it so that the reserve fund can hold more. So it takes more to spill over. But ultimately, if all we do is turn around and spend this out, even here, even adding $4.4 million to the reserve account, if they continue to spend at the rate that they spend and don't make the adjustment, it'll be just as dry as a bone in another year. So vote how you want to vote on what it tells you to, but ultimately, it's one of those things. It'd be nice if we could insulate everybody from the effects of a downturn in the economy, but it's just a matter of practicality that you can't.
Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number 32. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar? Aye. Anderson? Aye. Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebeck?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 24 aye, 6 no.
Second reading amendment number 32 has passed. Second reading amendment number 33. Will the reading clerk please read that amendment?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment to number 33, page 85, line 22.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I'd withdraw Amendment 33 to Senate File 1.
Without objection, so noted. Second reading amendment number 35. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment to number 35, page 87, line 1.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment 35 to Senate File 1 and ask for favorable consideration. Mr. President, this goes into Section 301, the borrowing authority for cash flow on the money the authority that's given to borrow money. And I changed it in the budget bill, it was $100 million. I changed it to $60 million and got rid of the SHPA account and put in the LSRA, and then added the other footnote of interest charge and the amounts borrowed shall be the interest rate earned on pooled fund investments from the previous fiscal year. The reason I did all this is to bring this budget amendment in line with Senate File 63, which passed through here and is on its way over to the House, so that the Senate has a consistent message as far as its interfund borrowing goes. So I ask the Senate to vote in favor of it.
Further discussion? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 aye, 2 no.
Second reading amendment number 35 has passed. Second reading amendment number 19. Reading clerk, please read that amendment in.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 19, corrected copy, page 114, line 8.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas requests privilege of the floor.
Oh, so now we're going through you to get privilege of the floor?
Yeah, just we don't know.
Power of the Sheridan delegation?
We're not sure what the timing is on this.
Senator Pappas, Mr. you have privilege of the floor.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. As you probably all recall, the next two amendments, if I may speak to the next two, are going to be conflicts for me. And so on advice of our LSO attorneys, last year, if you recall, on school cap con, it was a separate bill. This year, it's within the general appropriations bill. And so I asked them how I should handle it this year. And so per the combined House-Senate joint rule 12-2, which is the disclosure of personal and private interest, there is a paragraph in there that states, on general appropriations and recodification bills, a member who has declared a conflict of interest on a section or an amendment of that section shall not vote on that section but may vote on the entire bill. So I am declaring a conflict on both these next two amendments, and as I vote for the entire bill, that section, there will be a conflict on that section, but they tell me I can vote on the entire bill. So I just wanted to disclose that before we speak about it.
Yeah, okay, Senator Pappas, just to be clear, you are declaring a conflict on second reading amendment number 19 and second reading amendment number 20 to Senate file 1.
Correct.
You're retaining the right to be able to vote on the overall appropriations bill per our rules.
Correct. And also on anything that comes up in the future, I'll try to catch it. Anything on section 313.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's so noted. Senator Anselmi Dalton, do you have a privilege of the floor or something you wish to talk about before we go on to the next amendment?
Mr. President, privilege of the floor, please.
You may have it.
Mr. President, I would just like to welcome two people from my area that are here, from our senior centers, Ryan Rust and Sheila Schermessler. They're sitting here in the audience. If we could give them a round of applause, please.
Welcome to the Senate. Okay, we've read it in. Now, Senator Kinski.
President, I move second reading amendment 19 to Senate file 1. Folks, as we get into this, I just want to give you a heads up that it may be a difficult discussion. I hope not. But if it is, that fact alone reinforces the reason why we've got to support this amendment. What this amendment does is restores the budget as before appropriations began to move items around to move one school ahead of another over the recommendation of the School Facilities Commission. This unwinds all that and restores the recommendations of the School Facilities Commission, puts us back to where we're spending money we have or don't have. The reason we have a School Facilities Commission is not because they're perfect. The reason we have a Schools Facility Commission is to keep bodies like ours from engaging in these very kinds of debates. Whose school should come ahead of whose? And whether we're going to pursue a policy when we're disaffected by the decisions of the School Facilities Commission of seeking a political solution. Because once that door is opened, it becomes a very, very slippery slope. The analogy I can have is when I was mayor, periodically folks would come to me with a traffic ticket or you know, a dog at large, and they'd want me to do something. And I'd say, you know, I can't help you. You got to tell it to the judge. And the judge not always right, and I'm sorry for that. But that's far better than a politician stepping into the middle of that. It's the same thing here. Perhaps there's this school facilities commission was wrong. Perhaps there's a better solution. Perhaps there's other studies that argue for a different outcome. But as a matter of policy, should we as a body be engaging in those, knowing that ultimately it could imperil the collegiality of our own relationships and of our own body? I have in my district 4 school districts. And they all have needs. And periodically, I hear about how wrong the School Facilities Commission was. I do not seek a legislative remedy. I refer them back to the School Facilities Commission for good reason. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chelman, while I do declare a conflict on this section, it doesn't preclude me from speaking on it. So, if you bear with me, I sat on the Select Committee for School Facilities and was there during all the discussion of these commission-directed component-level funding projects. And let me tell you, I voiced my opinion there that the way that they are providing funding for some of these schools seems to me very irrational, and I'll tell you why. The funding, as you saw it in the original bill that the Appropriations Committee has adjusted, does not address many of the most pressing issues of these facilities. And the recommended facilities are the most expensive facilities in Cheyenne as far as operating costs per student. These measures, what the School Facilities Department is doing, is intended to drive the FCI score down, okay? It does not address all the key elements of the facility or address the education suitability. What they are doing is they're taking $2 to $3 million and putting it into the school, into schools like, for instance, Hobbs Elementary is one of them on here. They're putting $3 million plus into that school. That's almost a 60-year-old school, in order to lower the FCI score. If the FCI score gets lowered, then it'll drop it by 200 spots on the needs index. It'll be 210 on the list. That's just under Lander High School, which is only a 10-year-old school. So the reason that these component level projects, they deal with floors and sinks and restroom partitions and some boiler work and some abatement. All of these will drop all the scores. And that's great for the School Facilities Department because it looks like we're taking care of all these schools. But we're putting $3 million into a school. Some of these schools are even older than 60 years. I think that's bad policy. I, as an architect, would never recommend that to a client. And I'm recommending to you as a client, don't listen to that, okay? We need to... All of these schools eventually are going to be replaced. Why are we putting $3 million into them? That just does not make any economic sense. There's things that are not addressed. Fire suppression systems, air conditioning, additional square footage. Some of these schools can't even feed the kids they've got because the facilities are so old. Their gym spaces are smaller than they have no tutoring spaces. The ADA accessibility is bad in them. Security is horrible in them. And we're going to put $3 million into each one of these old schools? I submit to you, it makes no sense. I would not recommend to a client this. I don't think you ought to listen to this just to to take this $17 million, that's what we're talking about, $17 million, and put them in these five schools. It's money thrown down the drain in my term. Thank you, Mr. Senate.
Okay, further discussion. Senator Meyer.
Well, Mr. President, I guess one of the reasons why we're here is that we weren't that pure before the good senator from Buffalo arrived as far as the political aspects of the school construction, Mr. President. There's been some deals made in the past that, frankly, that allocated funds that were totally different than what the School Facilities Commission said. And I think a lot of us know that hundreds of millions of dollars were spent in one part of the state rather than another part of the state. And so at this point in time, the only solution really is a political solution. Political solution is to go back in and try to balance out between promises made, and promises weren't kept, and promises that should have been made. And so a lot of it has to do with what schools should be is necessarily, and I'll partially disagree with my good friend the architect, is what the local folks want in their schools. A totally different situation in some of the schools I represent. They'd rather have a component fix. Because if they go to a new school, their square footage is going to be cut in half. If they go to a new school, rather than having several rooms for different things, they're going to have one multi-purpose room that's going to have all of these little components that got to be pulled out of the walls so you can do different things in the multi-purpose room. And that's because their square footage is cut in half. But really, Mr. President, I think that a good dialogue between what the local folks want, what they need, what the district expects. A lot of times what the district expects is not what the people in a community want. And there's that communication. And I think that's where the political part gets into it, because I had to interject myself into the process with the school facilities and tell them what the local people really wanted, because they contacted me and asked me to do that. So, Mr. President, as we go forward with this, the one thing that is clear is that we don't have a lot of money. There's no doubt about it. But there is some money to do some things. Frankly, I think in some of these areas, the component things might be exactly as our good friend the architect suggests. Other areas, they may not be. But I don't have a lot of information on the floor to really make that decision, but I'd like to hear from some of the folks that sit on the School Facilities Commission, on that committee, and try to get maybe to the heart of the matter and as succinctly as we possibly can, because the hour is late.
Senator Offutt.
Basically, I use.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, to address some of those questions about kind of how this played out, I don't want the body to think that this is the objective solution that we have in this amendment, and I'm on and against the amendment because this solution was basically contrived by the commission and presented to the select committee after what we did last year. So we basically said we're not going to fund the junior high school. We're going to provide half the funds. What can we get for that price that would help? And then with that information, the commission came back and said, all right, well, with that much money, the best we can do is this list of components that would improve the scores. So this is not the pure solution. I don't know that we've had a pure solution from the select committee, honestly, in about 3 years. I'd say 4 years ago, we probably had a pure solution, and 5 years ago. But there's been a lot of politics in it for the last 3 years, realistically. It's not a coincidence that this proposes to be half of the components that we're putting into the budget are going to one particular school district. That's a contrivance based on the actions that we took last year in the legislature. The current draft that we have of the budget bill solves that. It rewinds. It takes us back to the recommendations of the School Facilities Committee last budget, and tries to move forward from there. So from a perspective of the School Facilities Committee, we certainly do have a lot of challenges. We have a lot of money that we need to spend. We know that we're trying to prioritize major maintenance, but we also know there are some projects where we just need to get those projects done. They've been in the queue for a long time. We have to tackle them. Again, we've done that over the years for just about every district in the state, and it's just time to get this one done. But the reality is, Mr. President, if there's one thing I want to make clear, it's that there is no pure solution before us. There is no objective, this is the right answer, this is what the weighting of the system came up with. We don't see that here. This is a political decision that we have to make.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. As I think I might be your ranking member on the Select Committee for School Facilities, we have spent a lot of time on Laramie District 1, and rightfully so. Mr. President, I probably can't be as eloquent as my good friend from Buffalo, nor as learned and up to speed on buildings as my good friend who sits right beside me. But I can share with you a little bit of what the Senator from Torrington alluded to, is how did we get to here? You'll recall a year ago that the commission and your select committee came forward with this project in mind. When the legislature voted not to support that project, we worked very hard in the dark of the night on the last night to try to put some funding in place and some language into our budget bill, which indicated, let's make sure that we put some budget to districts that have condition and capacity issues, knowing full well that there's really only one district at this point that fits that bill, and it was Laramie 1. So we began right away to meet with the director of the School Facilities Division, who would end up spending about 80% of his time throughout the interim on this Laramie 1 issue. At first, as the chairman of that committee, he asked if I would support and if I wondered if the legislature would support trying to build a couple of grade schools in Laramie 1, because after all, five of the buildings that we're talking about in Laramie 1 are on the condition index, the top 10, five of those are right here in this district in terms of condition. So I said to the director, I said, yes, I really believe that might be an option. That's a good use of our state dollars. The answer was not no, it was hell no. And so we went back to the drawing board. And the director and the co-chairman from the other side and I met in Wheatland, and we had another conversation. We said, well, what can we do for Laramie 1? After all, the Cary Junior High School project, the building sits down at number 18 on the condition index. It's down at number 18. So what can we do? We could bring that forward knowing full well that the legislature didn't support that the last time, or we could come up with an option. This was the option that was discussed and went forward through the commission. The commission felt like this was a good option, and the select committee supported it. The good senator from over the hill and I voted differently on that. It was a split vote. But the select committee came forward with what you see in front of you. And as the senator from Sheridan, Buffalo District, said, there's a good reason why we have that sort of protocol in place. Have we abided by the list? No, we have not. We have not. There's been a lot of times, Mr. President, as you know, where some things have gotten in the way, and we've had to settle some differences, and we've changed the list that has come forward from your select committee. That's just a reality. So what this would do then, this amendment, would return the recommended budget expenditures for school facilities, Mr. President, back to what your select committee brought to the legislature before the Appropriations Committee began to move the monies around so that they could be identified for the junior high school that we have talked about. Let me come back a little bit to my good friend to the left here. what has been represented to us on the select committee is not quite what was represented here, I don't believe. At least it was my understanding that we were going to be able to address these modulars. We've heard a lot about the modulars here in Laramie 1 because we do have a lot of students in modulars. We were told that we were going to have an opportunity to add some square footage to these buildings. We were also told that we could address some windows, we could address some floors, and the good senator told you about...
You got 10 seconds.
Okay, thank you. That's going to about cover it. There was nothing contrived, ladies and gentlemen, about this. Nothing contrived. It was just a lot of effort put forward throughout the interim that ultimately ended up with your commission and your select committee.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Burns.
On and for the amendment, I'm having some difficulty here. Up in our district, it's a school district that the good senator from Senate District 22 and I share, that we had an alternative school that had been put into an old elementary school, and it was about 60 years old, and it was at the top of the needs list, but it kept getting it would not get the improvements from the commission because it didn't have the capacity issues. So it just didn't get the money. What happened was it ended up getting condemned. And that alternative school is now in a non-school building renting. And so it concerns me when I hear people here saying, well, this elementary school is 50 years old or this elementary school is 60 years old. And it's much higher, 10 places higher on the needs list than this junior high school. But we don't want to spend any money on that. We don't want to help that because we want to replace the school, spend $40 million to replace the school that's 18 on the needs list. And so what bothers me about this is, let's say we went ahead and did that. What's going to happen to these elementary schools? I hope the same thing doesn't happen that happened to us up there. If you've got the means to fix those schools, by all means, fix those schools so you don't end up having to rent classrooms for your kids.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment. You know, before everyone got to town or while you were in town getting ready for the legislature, our local paper had an article talking about education opportunities being unequal in Wyoming, and they specifically talked about facilities. And so just to highlight a few key points, they talk about Cary Junior High and the problems there. The principal said something like the bathrooms flood because the plumbing backs up. And as someone who's actually played volleyball in this building several times, I can tell you I've walked into that building and have smelled that effect. And it's really, it's unpleasant for a volleyball game, Mr. President, but all I can think is this is where a lot of our kids are going to school. You know, the principal added, we're lucky that hasn't happened for a while. To the point of how much we should be investing in some of these older facilities, it begs the question of how we want to look at these schools. It's not just a matter of replacing windows, replacing boilers. I mean, some of these schools have very real security concerns. As I think we're all aware, we need to make sure that all the facilities that our kids are learning on are safe. And so an example I would point you to is the new schools that are being built have a very centralized location where visitors enter. They're very secure so that if some unwanted person were to enter that building, there would be some actual ability to lock down those situations immediately. But in these old schools, that just doesn't exist. And, Mr. Chairman, I know that we have huge issues, financial and otherwise, but the idea that we would start trying to fix and pretend like we've fixed the problems in some of these older schools, these elementary schools, simply isn't there. This project is a very necessary first step for us to start having that discussion about how we start systematically addressing the needs of our older facilities in Cheyenne. There is no doubt in my mind that we need to start dramatically rethinking how we fund our facilities. But now is not the time to start making drastic decisions. We do have a plan in place, and I can tell you that, you know, being a freshman senator in this chamber, I'm committed to working with every interested party to make sure we have a plan that will address the needs of those elementary schools. But simply throwing $3 million at a school here, $2 million here, and thinking we've solved any kind of solution, we're just setting these kids up for a failure in how we're funding their schools. And so I would urge you to vote against this amendment.
Anybody else for their first time? Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think it will come as no surprise to the body that I'm on and against the amendment. For all the reasons outlined by my Senate colleagues from Laramie County, but I think it's very important for this body just to hear what I have listened to during this argument in this debate this afternoon. This amendment was brought using the term purity. And I find that deeply ironic because the amendment does exactly the opposite. What it does is it continues to game a system that is broken, which is school facilities. As a freshman senator as well, it's clear to me that the system is gamed and continues to be gamed. As the good senator from Laramie County, the architect, pointed out, by adding on just a couple $1 million to these elementary schools that are in the top 10 that need replaced, what you're simply doing is pushing them down the list, and you're not actually solving the problem. You're throwing $1 million at a problem to not fix it or solve it. You're throwing good money after bad. And whereas Laramie County certainly appreciates the efforts to provide these resources to the needed educational system in this state and to a county whose economy is growing and contributing significantly to this state's future, this is simply gaming that same system. I don't see the purity here. There's a concept in the law known as detrimental reliance. That's when somebody makes a promise to you and you rely on it to your detriment. And I assure you that's what's happened in Laramie County. And you all know that. You know the history with how Cary didn't get built and these other Laramie County schools, how we have 5 in the top 10, didn't get built, but certain areas in the state did. Laramie County received a promise, relied on it, to its great detriment. As I believe the good senators of this chamber know, the reason why Cary, number 18 on the list, has been chosen to be built in lieu of the 5 other elementary schools is as part of the long-term strategic plan, which has been in place for, I think, at least a decade, that Cary is to be that swing space while those other elementary schools are being constructed on a long-term plan. So I think that explains that common sense, logical justification for that result. So that long-term plan needs to come into place. There was a promise. It was relied upon. Laramie County is suffering that detriment. The school is needed. It's the same argument that the Senate heard before, but we're just another year into it. The facility is needed. So on and against this amendment.
Okay. Further discussion? Anyone for their first time? Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, and I'm not a freshman senator, but I do not have the eloquence of my freshman colleagues. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion for their first time? Okay, for their second time before the sponsor speaks. Anyone want to speak for their second time before the sponsor? Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just one reflection. If we go down the path of putting this back as the Select Committee on School Facilities recommended, and it was a split vote, the entire committee did not agree with this. But if we do go down this path, please understand that we will, as my colleague from Laramie County mentioned, it is a numbers game. I was on the School Facilities Commission. I was a commissioner. I know they look at numbers and they look at outcomes. They're looking at reducing those needy schools. And so it's just easy to be able to pencil it in. But when you throw $2 million, $3 million, one of them is $3.6 million almost, into an old school that's 50, 60 years old, it is throwing good money after bad, as my colleague mentioned. And I, as an architect, cannot advise any of my clients to do that. It's like you've got a $1,500 car that got hailed out, and you go get in an insurance claim, and it's going to cost you $3,000 to fix it. Are you going to put $3,000 into a $1,500 vehicle just to make it look good? No. You're going to wait and buy a new vehicle. It's the same thing with these schools, Okay? They are old schools. Eventually they need to be replaced. They're in the top. They're higher than Cary. Agreeable. They need to be replaced. Why are we going to put $17 million into these schools? Does not make economic sense. And I urge you to please defeat this amendment.
Okay, Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, I was going to stay out of this particular one, but I keep hearing this argument that the school's 50 or 60 years old, and because it's an old school, we don't need to fix it, we need to replace it. I have trouble with that argument, Mr. President. My kids went to a junior high school that I went to, Dean Morgan up in Casper, that is that old, older now. It's doing an excellent job. It's been fixed up a time or two a bit. It's a good school, provides a good education. What counts, Mr. President, really, is the quality of the instruction that goes on within the school. And a lot of times I think the cheaper solution is to fix it up so it can continue to be used. I myself, Mr. President, took a good deal of instruction in a building that General Washington quartered his troops in during the Revolution. And I didn't notice that the age of the building impaired the quality of the instruction in the slightest. I think we need to get away from this mindset that just because it's a few years old, we've got to rebuild it, replace it. We need to fix it a bit. That's what we can afford now.
Okay. Senator Kinski, for your second and final time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Folks, I said at the outset that this was going to be a difficult discussion, and it has been. And for that very reason, we need to vote aye on the amendment to make a policy decision that these decisions have to be left to an independent board, which may or may not always be right, but it's far better than what happens in this body with the hard feelings of whose school comes ahead of whose, where the money's going to come from. And not only is it a policy decision to say, we're not going to play a political card on building these schools. We're going to send folks back to the School Facilities Commission to make their case. But a vote for aye on this also says, we are not going to continue to spend money we do not have. I'd remind you that what's necessary to make sure that this comes to the head of the line is moving a lot of pieces around on the table to try and marshal the funds. And in part, it results in spending money that we just do not have. I'd urge an affirmative vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. We're voting on second reading amendment number 19. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar.
Aye.
Aye. Anderson.
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton.
No.
No. Baldwin.
Aye.
Aye. Barnard. Aye. Boner.
No.
No. Bouchard. Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon? Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? No. Pappas?
Conflict?
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson? Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Bomplater?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye.
Hicks? Not aye.
Hicks? No to aye. Closing vote? Closing, vote closed. 22 aye, 7 no, 1 conflict.
Second reading amendment number 19 has passed. Second reading amendment number 20. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 20, page 113, line 1.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President. Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, let me say that there is one element in this amendment which is identical to the amendment we just passed. It has to do with Cary Junior High. I think it does no harm to leave it in, but if somebody wants to divide it out, it wouldn't do any harm to do that either because we've decided on the issue one way or the other. But it is identical to what we've already done. Mr. President, let me explain my motivation in bringing this amendment. And what this amendment does, Mr. President, the instructions I had to the Senate bill drafters was I wanted to remove all the school capital construction that was not major maintenance. Wanted to leave the major maintenance intact. And that we have some lease obligations we're obligated to pay for. Wanted to leave that part intact and remove the rest of the school capital construction. And if we pass this amendment, disregarding the one piece, the Cary Junior High, we've already dealt with, the result will be a reduction of the budget of $15,579,000. So this is starting to be significant money. Now, why, Mr. President, did I bring this amendment? Mr. President, in the explanation of the budget bill, the statement was made by the committee, member of the committee, that with the budget as it stood before us in committee of the whole, we were going to deplete our reserves by $902 million. Mr. President, that means we are spending, with the budget as it came before us, $902 million more than we are taking in. I ran those calculations myself off the Craig 1 report and before the governor's budget was available and got $759 million that we were spending deficit. So obviously the situation has gotten worse. Mr. President, if we spend at that rate, we are going to be down here. We've got, I figure, $2.1 billion in reserves when you add the LSRA account and some of the other little pots we have. And you can, that money, that amount can change a little bit depending on what you count and what you don't. We are going to deplete our reserves much faster, Mr. President, than our economy is recovering. And we're going to be down here 2 years from now, 4 years from now, with a disaster on our hands, where we are going to both have to cut programs in ways that the people do not want us to cut and tax them in ways that they do not want to be taxed. If we're going to deal with what we can see coming, we have to be responsible at this point. And why did I pick this area, Mr. President? Mr. President, I earn my living in a cyclical business. Not as cyclical as the oil and gas business that the state's deriving a lot of its revenue from, but a cyclical business. When times are tough, you don't do some of the capital expenditures. You keep up what you've got. You keep the major maintenance up. But you put the capital expenditures off till times are better, or you eventually devise some new system where you get in some more revenue, earn some more, or some other way of dealing with your capital expenditures. But that's what you cut out because that's what you can get by with cutting out. And, Mr. President, that's what we need to do, and that's why I instructed the LSO to draft this amendment this way so that we would cut out all the things that aren't major maintenance. And I'm sure I'm going some oxes out in the state. But, Mr. President,
you got 10 seconds,
we've
Senator
got
Scott.
To do that or we're in trouble down the line.
Okay. Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask if we could divide the amendment, division number one being lines 19 and 20. My intent here is that's my conflict, is those two lines, and then the balance of the amendment. I have no conflict. I would like to be able to vote on the balance. Did I get it all?
I don't think you have. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, that's page 117, lines 11 through 16. That is the paragraph that deals with Cary Junior High. That can be divided out and frankly, defeated without doing any harm because we've already dealt with that issue. And I understand Senator's problem. If I could speak to that division, I would urge the Senate to vote it down, which is, I think, what he wants.
Yeah, that division it will work. So we have it's lines. I don't think we need to do anything other than lines 19 and 20. But if you look in your budget bill, that refers to page 117, line through 11 through 16, which specifically makes reference to a junior high school in Laramie County. And we just had that debate. So we have two divisions. 19 and 20 is division number one, and division number two is 1 through 18, and 21 through 29.
Mr. President?
Go ahead, Senator Ellis.
If we could include line 13 in division one, I believe that's a reference to page 115, lines 15 through 23, which references, I believe, the Cary project.
Check here.
Oh, I might have been wrong, Mr. Chairman. Oh, Mr. Chairman, I misspoke.
So I was right?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President.
Wait. Senator Anderson, do you wish we're still working on this division? You have? Okay. All right. I think that division is okay, and we're voting on division number one. Discussion on division number one. There being none?
Oh.
Division 1, we're voting on Division 1, which is lines 19 through 20. If you look in your budget bill, it's lines 11 through 16, subtitle H, which deals with a junior high school in Laramie County.
Mr. President.
Senator Scott.
So we're absolutely clear. This Division 1 is an item we have already acted on. If you vote no and get it out of this amendment, it won't affect the substance of anything we've already done, and it's a good idea. It'll remove a senator's conflict of interest. I urge the Senate to vote no.
Yeah, okay, and we all understand that, so it requires a roll call vote, though. Please call the roll, and noted that Senator Pappas has declared a conflict on this particular part. Senator Burns.
I believe the sponsor's only spoken once on this division. And if we've already removed it, then why wouldn't we vote aye? It deletes it again anyway.
You can't lose.
Senator Burns, you know, the division is admissible, and it's certainly we will have another vote on it, and that's what we're going to do.
No, I mean, division one is our lines 19 and 20 in
that's
the
correct.
Amendment. And that concerns the junior high school, which has already been deleted. So I don't understand why we would vote no. I think we would vote aye.
Mr.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, see if I can simplify this. It's something we've already voted on.
I need to withdraw it.
Would it? Yes, that's exactly what I had in mind, Mr. President.
There you go.
If I can, would have the leave, even though it's been moved, if I could have the leave to withdraw lines 19 and 20.
Without objection, so noted. Should have thought of that earlier. If the chair up here was thinking, that's what he would have asked for. Okay, we are now back on Senate file, second reading amendment number 20, Senate file 1, which includes lines 1 through 18 and 21 through 29. Senator Pappas, did you wish to speak to that? Okay. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, on and for the amendment, and I don't know how many of you took a really hard look at the Craig Report forecasted revenues for the next biennium. I think it was extremely rosy. $3 natural gas. Has anybody looked at what the New York Mercantile or the Opal Hub's doing and where it's at? Looked at future prices out there? Just telling you folks, $3 natural gas is probably not in the future, at least for this year and maybe for the biennium. Now, that's a projected biennium price, but we're at $2.65 and the New York Mercantile and down to $2.30 at the Opal Hub. Most of Wyoming's gas goes west. It's still the number one revenue generator for the state of Wyoming is natural gas. Now, they're projecting that to swap in a couple of years with oil. But keep in mind, the more oil we produce, the lower the natural gas prices go down. There is an absolute inverse relationship between oil and gas. I would tell you, the Craig Report probably over-forecasted that. At this point in time, we're just talking about setting this back for 1 year, giving ourselves a little slush in here. I think this is a very prudent measure, given the fact that our revenues may have been over-forecasted. On and for the amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment. You know, we had a good analogy here about the hailed-out $1,500 car, and you get $3,000 worth of insurance for it. I don't know what insurance agent we're working with, but I'd like to know who that was. You know, but...
Speak to the amendment, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, I am. But what I'm saying is that a lot of folks that, gosh, if they get their insurance, maybe they can't afford a new car, and they just drive the one that they got and just put more tires on it. Maybe a set of shocks or something, Mr. President. And, folks, I think that's where we're at now. We can't afford a new car. We can't afford a new used car. I think we just need to drive this car that we got right now and hope that it doesn't go over the cliff. And I think passing this amendment and maybe doing some more work on some of these other ones, we won't be driving this budget in the state over a cliff.
Okay, Senator Coe.
Mr. President, just so we know what we're doing, and I just reviewed it with the chairman of the Select School Facilities, in there right now is some planning money. There's some demolition money to demolish some old schools. There's a track at the smallest district in the state that's in there. So if we support this bill, all of that goes away. All of that goes away. Your call.
Okay. Did someone over at Senator Anderson?
Yes, Mr. President. When the senator from Bates Creek was introducing, he said, and maybe I misheard it, but he said he would save $15 million, and I think it's a lot more than that. I just want him to correct it on the when he reports.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this creates a little bit of an interesting circumstance because we just passed an amendment that actually went back in and inserted $20 million or so worth of value of component projects that were not in the bill, and then we wiped out the junior high school along those lines. So with this amendment, we wipe out all of the framework, I believe, around the component funding, but we have the component funding language in place. So I'm not entirely sure technically what ends up happening if we pass this amendment having passed the previous amendment. I think it's a bit of a train wreck. That just might require some cleanup on a third reading if we end up passing this. But I do agree with what Senator Anderson said. If this all goes away, I think it has to be much more than the $15 million. I think it ends up being more like $33, $34 million because the component funds that we just added back in would also have to be removed, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. President.
Okay, further discussion. Before the sponsor speaks for the second time, further discussion. Okay, Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. President, I will say I did not understand the most recent comment. I don't think there's a technical problem, but we can double-check that. This is second reading. With regard to the amount that this amendment takes out, LSO gave me a figure. It was in the range that I'm talking about. And so I added it up myself, looking at the lines and the specifics. And it does come out, it only removes, unfortunately, $15,579,000. And I added it twice. Mr. President, I'm relatively confident of that figure.
Okay. We're voting on second reading amendment number 20. Chief Clerk, please call the roll. Right. Let me restate that just so the record's clear. We're voting on second reading amendment number 20, having removed lines 19 and 20. So we're voting on lines 1 through 18, 21 through 29. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar? Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Excuse, or is he there?
Boner? Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Bonplater?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 24 aye, 6 no.
Second reading amendment number 20 has passed. Second reading amendment number 21. Reading clerk, please read in that. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, there is a certain group that has brought in, otherwise we weren't so busy doing the people's business, we would have potentially gone over there and eaten that. They've actually brought that to the Capitol. And so I'd ask that we accept their hospitality and that we would take a recess of about 30 minutes.
Okay. The Senate will stand at ease till the sound of the gavel, about 30 to 40 minutes.
Basically,